Hi, Homeschool Leader. This is Carol Topp from Homeschool CPA, back with another episode of this podcast trying to help you manage your homeschool organizations well. And the topic today is going to be about state filings that might be required by your state, especially if you're a homeschool nonprofit organization. Now, a lot of nonprofits, homeschool nonprofits in particular that I help, seem to know now that the IRS has an annual reporting requirement for you to maintain tax-exempt status so you don't have to pay taxes. That's a good thing. And this IRS form is called a 990, comes in three forms, 990, 990EZ, and 990N. And the 990N is what the IRS calls their e-postcard. It's filed online. It's very short, 8 questions, taking maybe 5 minutes once a year, and it keeps you active in their database as a tax-exempt organization. But what you might not know about is that your state probably has some filings that you're supposed to do as well as a nonprofit or 501c3 organization in their state. Now, every state is different, so it's kind of difficult for me just to have one podcast and explain the requirements for every state, but I want to give you an overview and then tell you how you can get more specific help. All right. At the state level, there are probably several agencies that your group as a nonprofit has to deal with. If your homeschool group is a for-profit, completely different. I'm only talking to the nonprofit homeschool groups right now. 3 agencies in the state: the Secretary of State, the Attorney General, and the Department of Taxation or Department of Revenue, whatever your state calls it. Okay, let's start with the first one, the Secretary of State. That's the agency you dealt with when you filed to become a nonprofit corporation. It was done at the state level. You said you filed something called Articles of Incorporation with them. And every state has some sort of follow-up. And they can be different, of course, based on the states. Some states want you to report in every year that your nonprofit corporation still exists. I know Illinois is one state, for example, that you have to report in. You have to send in some paperwork or file online now every year that says my corporation is still active. I just helped a group. Where were they? Can't remember what state, but the form was very short, 1 page. And all they had to do was say, yes, we still exist. Here's our name, address, and here are our officers' names. In where I'm from in Ohio, nonprofit corporations only have to notify the Secretary of State of their continued existence once every 5 years. I think I came across one state, it was every 10 years, not very often there. But you need to know about this, especially if you're in one of these states like Illinois that wants you to report in with the Secretary of State every year. And if you don't, you get to pay a $25 fee to get reinstated as a nonprofit corporation. So make sure you look and find out what your Secretary of State requires. The second state agency you might have something to deal with if you're a nonprofit organization is the Attorney General. And the Attorney General frequently is the state agency that cares about charitable solicitations or fundraisers, because they're the people who watchdog to make sure no one's representing themselves as a charity and asking people for donations, and they're not really a charity, okay? They're the Attorney General. They're the lawyers, so they're trying to keep us on the up and up. So if you solicit funds, meaning if you ask for donations or if you hold fundraisers, especially if you hold fundraisers outside your membership, there's a likelihood that you have to do some sort of registration and maybe annual reporting at your state every year with your state attorney general. Now, I've helped lots of states, lots of homeschool organizations rather, understand what their state requirements are. And I've found that frequently states may have some exemptions of having to do this annual charitable reporting or some thresholds. And the common ones I see, if you, first of all, if you don't solicit donations in the state, fine, you probably don't have to report, may not have to report anything. Pennsylvania has this funny form. It's a form you file to say that you're exempt from filing another form. Okay, that's kind of unique, but that's what they do. Sometimes if you only solicit your members, meaning you don't go outside the public and ask for donations or fundraising, that might be an exemption, and then maybe you don't have to do any annual reporting with your attorney general. Or some states I know have a threshold, like a dollar threshold. And one I see very common, but it's not hard and fast, so I don't know if it's true for every state, is roughly if you're a relatively small organization and have less than some threshold of like $10,000 or $25,000 of contributions. They'll say, okay, you're small, we won't make you do an annual reporting, or maybe just a simple reporting. There are some states that say, just fill out your name and address, tell us, check the box, say you bring in less than $25,000 in donations. So again, understand that this varies by state, so you'll have to look up, and I can help you do that, but you'll have to look up what your particular state's attorney general's rules are concerning fundraisers or with accepting or soliciting contributions or donations. And finally, you might have to deal with the State Department of Revenue. Okay. Now, usually at the state level, they follow what the IRS does. Meaning, if you got tax-exempt status from the IRS, usually the states don't send you through another application. They just take the IRS determination that you are tax-exempt. They frequently want you to file once a form or a letter and send along a copy of your IRS letter. And then usually they say, well, fine, now we won't charge you state corporate income tax. So I want you to understand that, yeah, there are federal taxes and then there are state taxes on corporations. And if you have not sent your state basically proof that you got tax exempt status from the IRS, the state might still say to you, hey, you're still supposed to be paying state corporate income tax. So typically, the dealings a nonprofit has with the Department of Taxation at their state or Department of Revenue at their state level is probably just once and done. Meaning you get that IRS tax 501c3 tax exempt status, you get a nice letter, you send a copy of the letter to your state, and you're probably done dealing with them in terms of the Department of Taxation. You probably will have annual reporting from those other two state agencies I already mentioned, the Secretary of State. They're the ones who want to make sure your nonprofit corporation status is still active, and or the Attorney General of your state, who again monitors charitable solicitations and fundraisers. And I've said it, I think, three times already. I'm going to say it again. Every state is different. If you want me to research what your state rules are, don't just email me and say, Carol, what does my state require? Because it takes me probably a minimum of an hour to research. And I have to ask some information about your organization as well to know what, you know, your income revenues are. Are you soliciting, people from outside your membership? You know, things like that. So I do help organizations understand what their state filing requirements are, but I don't do it for free. I typically charge, about $50 or $75 to compose a letter to say, here's what's required, and here are the forms you need to fill out now and the forms you need to fill out in the future. So make sure you keep up to date on these things. If you want to do it yourself, like I said, I can help. I can help do research for you. But there's two organizations, two websites that I use when I'm trying to research what states require of nonprofits. And one of those organizations is called Harbor Compliance. I think their .org is their website. Harbor, like ships in the harbor, compliance.org. And they do a nice job of organizing information by each state. So you type in your state and up pops up what you have to do to remain compliant with your state laws. The other one I like is a group of lawyers who put together information by state as well. And that is called Hurwit, one T at the end of Hurwit, H-U-R-W-I-T, hurwitassociates.com. Again, there's some attorneys who work with nonprofits. And I go to both of those websites, and then I start clicking on the state websites to figure out what the laws say. Unfortunately, it's kind of complex to figure out what the laws say. And mostly I spend a lot of time looking to see if I can get my clients some exemption, if I can get them out of having these filing requirements. But frequently they don't. So frequently I I close my letter saying, okay, here's what you need to do now, you know, send in some information, and here's what you need to do every year, and here are your due dates. So that's what I do to try to help my clients, nonprofit or homeschool organizations, stay compliant with their state filings. It's not impossible, just got to keep up with it, got to know what you don't know, and I'm here to help. My name is Carol Topp. My website is homeschoolcpa.com because I am a CPA and I did homeschool my kids, and mostly I help homeschool organizations now be compliant with the laws and filings for both the IRS and your state level. So I hope this was helpful. You know where to find me, carol@homeschoolcpa.com, if you have any questions or need any help with this. Take care, everybody.
Homeschool leader, do you feel confused or overwhelmed by the job of running your homeschool group? You're not alone. Carol Topp, the homeschool CPA, is here to help. Carol is an accountant, author, and retired homeschool mom who understands you. Her website has helpful information on co-ops, paying workers, and managing the money in a homeschool group. If you need personalized advice, set up a consultation with Carol. She's happy to discuss your particular situation. Visit homeschoolcpa.com today and get the information you need to successfully run your homeschool group.